Let's take our Bibles, please, this morning and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to look at two passages of Scripture as we begin our preaching service this morning. First of all, we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 12. You want to turn over and put your finger in Ephesians chapter 4. We'll be there in just a moment. I want to read beginning at verse 4 here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. Now notice this, please. Given to every man to profit withal. God's Spirit dwells in the heart and life of the Christian so that profit is given to God. He makes a profit because His Spirit is indwelling in the Christian's heart. Verse 8, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will. Now look over here in Ephesians chapter 4, please. Verse 7. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore He saith, when He ascended up on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that He ascended, what is it but that He also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that He might fill all things. And He gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your word this morning. Lord, we thank You that You have given to Your children the Holy Spirit of God to empower, to enable, to give understanding and wisdom, to conduct Your business here upon this earth through us. We ask Your Heavenly Father that we might get a clearer grasp this morning of the effectiveness of our ministries and the fact that we can only do eternal work by Thy Holy Spirit. We ask, dear Father, that You would work in our hearts, that You would convict of sin, that You would edify, that You would strengthen Your people through the preaching of the Word of God. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The title of our message this morning is, You Can't Do God's Work Without God's Spirit. Simple title. You cannot do God's work, His eternal work, without the Holy Spirit of God. The scriptural teaching that the work of God through the church can be accomplished only by the energizing of the Holy Spirit of God is very hard for us to accept. Now you say, well, people in the church ought to know that. But it's a very hard thing to accept. Our carnal desire is for honor, praise, glory, and especially this, recognition. We want to somehow get the recognition that's due us. We need to garner that praise, that glory. It's got to come to us. After all, it wouldn't have been done without me doing it. But the point is this. Paul, both in 1 Corinthians 12 and Ephesians, tells us that God's work, eternal work, is done by God's Spirit through believers. We are simply instruments in God's hand. God has been so kind and tender with us, but there is no way in which He can compromise in this matter with human pride and flesh. He can't compromise on this one here. He does His work through His Spirit. Now, do you believe that this morning? He does His work through His Spirit. Now, if you're going to be a willing instrument in His hands, He will use you. He will use you to His glory and praise. But as long as you want to direct the recognition and the praise and whatever to your flesh and to yourself, then God can't use you. He will not compromise on that point. That is why His Word bears down so hard on the flesh, insisting that we understand and confess that no human gifts, no human talents can accomplish what the Holy Spirit of God can produce, which is the ultimate and eternal work of God. Now, even though God has faithfully reminded us that it is the ministry of the Holy Spirit to submerge and to hide the Christian worker in the work of God, the true humility He seeks among us is still too often the exception rather than the rule. Now, why is that? It's the flesh. It's the flesh that we still are doing battle with. As a result, some have actually spent a lifetime of religious work doing little more than getting attention and glory for themselves. And that's all, as we learned in Sunday school this morning, wood, hay, and stubble. And that'll all go up in a poof of fire. Now, the glory can only belong to Christ. The glory, I'm going to say this again, because I want it to be heard in every child's ear, every teenager's ear, every adult's ear. The glory is due Christ alone. Christ cannot share His glory with you here upon this earth. He's not going to share it with you. Now, we're going to get to enjoy it in heaven. We're going to witness His glory. But all glory is due Jesus Christ. And you and I need to keep that simple thought as we minister. Whether it's to our friends and family and in a home setting, or whether it's at the business place where we're working among workers, the glory goes to Christ. It does not go to ourselves and Christ. Because you see, the Holy Spirit's duty, Christ told us this in the book of John, the Holy Spirit's duty is to bring glory to Christ. That's His primary task. He seeks to glorify Christ. And He will do it through you if you're a willing instrument. Now, with this background, would you consider with me Paul's account of what Christ did for the church? In Ephesians here, in our passage here, the Bible says that He gave to the church apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. All right? He gave gifts to the church of individuals to carry out His work. Individuals called of God to minister the Word, missionaries. That's, I think, more the understanding of that word evangelist there is missionaries, those that carry the evangel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Pastor teachers. God gave gifts of individuals to the church to minister. Notice this in verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, I want you to take the commas out. Commas were supplied by the translators, and I want you to read it as a sentence without commas, and I want you to see the thought. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Do you see the difference without the commas? With the commas, it sounds like three different things. Oh yeah, He gave gifts so they could do three different things. For the perfecting of the saints. Some of them perfect saints. Some of them do the work of the ministry and others do the edifying of the body. No, wait. It's all one statement in the original. No commas. God gave gifts of individuals to the church for the perfecting of saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. In other words, you are part of the ministry too. God gave gifts to the church to perfect the saints so that the saints might be able to conduct the work of the ministry for the edifying of the body of Christ, edifying one another. Do you see the focus there? The church is not for the preacher. Okay? Now here's where we are in today's society. There are a lot of preachers that think that the church is for them. It's a stepping stone for them to launch them into notoriety and fame, but that's not what the church is for. The church is for the edifying and the building up of the saints so that they might be efficient workers for Christ, edifying the body of Christ in themselves for the work of the ministry. Now, He gave special gifts Now, the work of the ministry which believers are to do will bring about the edifying of the body of Christ. And this is not just in reference to the ordained ministry of the pastor as we know it. It is the ministry of all Christians to have some share in the building up of the body of Christ until we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God into maturity and eventually into heaven, where we'll have perfection then, delivered from this body of death. It is a rather common thing for visitors and folks to come to me after a service, or maybe after a few weeks they'll speak to me and they'll ask me questions about what they don't find here. I noticed that you don't have a program for this. I noticed you don't have a program for that. I noticed that you don't do this, or you don't have contemporary Christian music, or you don't have a drum set, or you don't have this, or you don't have that. And I try not to be, you know, go on into all kinds of critical things about other churches. I just say, others do, we don't. Because we have sought to find out what the Word of God says. What honors Christ? What brings glory to His name? And what we have noticed is that those places that have all those things, for the most part, it's man worship. It's man worship. It's the exaltation of individuals rather than the exaltation of Christ Jesus. We know that Christ is exalted through the preaching of the Word. We know that. Why have we moved away from that in the church today to all these other peripheral things? Because the preaching of the Word is not entertaining. These other things are. We seek by God's grace to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to communicate His Word to you so that you might be edified and be a blessing to everybody else in here. I was speaking to a lady 2 weeks ago, was telling me about her church, and she said, I'm just so fed up with all the bickering and the name-calling and the backbiting that I hear. She said, what is the problem? I said, the absence of the Holy Spirit. That's the problem. When the Holy Spirit is working through the Word of God, it changes hearts. It conforms. The Holy Spirit, He conforms you to the Word. And He changes your attitude. If you have a bad attitude, you don't have the Spirit of God. Well, I don't believe that. I believe you can have the Holy Spirit of God and you can have a bad attitude. I'm going to tell you something, not for long. Not for long. The Holy Spirit is grieved. He is grieved when you've got a bad attitude. And He's going to work and work and work and correct and chasten until you get that matter right with the Lord. I believe in the active ministry of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. I don't believe there's any such thing as a dormant spirit. And that's being preached today. You've got to awaken the dormant spirit in your heart and life. Listen, the Holy Spirit is a person. He is alive. He is God in you. He is not dormant. If you have got a bad attitude and your life is not what it ought to be, then you need to examine your heart and life to see whether or not the Spirit of God is dwelling there. I'm very concerned today. We're coming up with all kinds of new doctrines, reviving the dormant spirit. The Holy Spirit is not dormant. He's alive. The problem is that the Holy Spirit's not there. That's what's the problem. Let's stop making up new doctrines and start realizing what the problem is. The problem is we don't want to deal with folks on a real level and confront them in their sin. We got to make up a condition for them and give it a new catchy religious title. The dormant spirit within. Doesn't that sound catchy? Oh, that's my problem. I've got the dormant spirit. I knew I would find out something for it. You know, we've come up with all kinds of things for disobedient children today. We've got all kinds of letters that we put in a row. ADHD. We've got more letters that we put together, and we've got all these problems. You know what it is? It's just old-fashioned disobedience that hasn't been handled with the authority of the Word of God. That's all it is. Now we're having a turn away from the drugs now. You know why? We've got so many kids now that are now, after 20 years of drugs being taken in America now, we've got a mental health crisis on our hands. Do you know that? I visited a young man down here at one of the nursing homes. Ritalin destroyed his brain. Ritalin. He cannot function in society. And now he's in a nursing home. 27 years old. Diagnosis. Discipline issue. This young man has a problem. Let's put him on the drugs of the day. And they put him on several psychotropic drugs that have destroyed his brain. And we have a mental health crisis in this country today with all these boys and girls that have grown up with all these powerful drugs to try to make them behave. Now, there are a few legitimate issues with chemical. I don't want to paint a broad picture, say that all of, but I think the vast majority of them is because we've gotten away from the authority of the Word of God and how we discipline our children, and we tried to do it with drugs. And now we've got destroyed people. Functions of the brain cannot operate because they were on such powerful drugs to try to get them to cooperate. As time goes on, they're more and more uncooperative. After effects, the consequences of the drug. Now, we are responsible to our Lord for the conduct of this church, conduct of the work that we carry out through Santa Rosa Christian School, through the Learning Center, through the camp program, through every aspect of this ministry. We are responsible to conduct the work of God according to this book and by the power of His Holy Spirit. Now, there are three basic methods whereby God uses the body of Christ to do His eternal work. Number one, these are very important. Number one, Christian believers and Christian congregations must be thoroughly consecrated to Christ's glory alone. When was the last time you heard the word consecrate? Consecrate. You won't see it on TBN. You won't hear it on a lot of things. Consecration is a word that you used to hear a lot about, but you don't hear much about. Consecration comes from the temple, from Old Testament Scripture, where the men that worked in the temple, the articles of furniture, the utensils that were used, every part of that had to be consecrated before it could be used. It had to be washed and cleaned and purified in order for it to be used. Do you know what? God still believes in consecration. He wants clean vessels for His use. And He wants you and I to be consecrated, purified, so that Christ can receive the glory alone. This is His method. The Holy Spirit's ministry is to bring glory to Christ through you and through me. Now, Dr. Hobbs taught me early in my ministry to avoid having performers in this pulpit. All right? We're not going to have performers in this pulpit. Oh, there's all kinds of individuals and groups and stuff we could haul in that will perform us to death. Dr. Hobbs taught me when I was coming in, we're not going to have those in the pulpit. And he put something in me that said, I'm not going to have that in the pulpit either. Why? We are not called to recognize performers. I am confident that our Lord never meant for the Christian church to provide a religious stage where performers proudly take their bows seeking human recognition for themselves. We do not believe that it is God's way to His eternal work. That's not His way. He has never indicated that the proclamation of the gospel is to become dependent upon human performances. We want to be dependent upon the Holy Spirit's power. Now think for me for just a moment, the appliances that you have in your kitchen, ladies. You know, we've got appliances in our kitchen at home. We've got a flat-top stove. We don't have the coil type. We have the kind that sends up the heat through that. That's kind of neat, isn't it? You know what's interesting? It didn't work when the power went out during the hurricane. Every one of our appliances in our kitchen is dependent upon something outside of itself. The fancy microwave over the stove, My little coffee maker, boy, I love that. When I was a kid, when our grandparents came down from Ohio, they had a percolator that they had. And they would start that thing up in the morning, and it seemed like it took an eternity for that thing to finally get up where it'd start boiling enough, and it'd start going up that little tube, and then you'd see it at the top, it had a little glass top on it, you see the coffee there percolating, and it'd go down through the filter screen and then back down there, and it would just have this thing, and you could smell the aroma of the coffee. But it was nothing instant about it. I mean, it took forever. I like my little electric Mr. Coffee Maker. I can make one cup, two cups, and I put it in there, and within 2 minutes, I've got a roasting hot cup of coffee. But you know what? When the power's out, it doesn't work. All the fancy things. We all went through a week without power back in 2004. All of our fancy gadgets, the ceiling fan that we stared at while we were sweating in this pool. Boy, you know, I'm used to that. I'm used to my ceiling fan. My wife's the same way. We can't sleep without it creaking. Ween, 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 ween. You know, anybody know what I'm talking about it? You know, what's wrong in here? Oh, the fan's not on. Flip the fan on, and we, you know, go out then. But that ceiling fan, looking at it, it's not moving because there's no power. You go flip the light switch as you're going through the house on the third day. You know, didn't come on. We are so dependent upon electricity, are we not? Now, it was nice. We got our little generators going where we could keep our refrigerator going and not losing our food, but it didn't replace all the things that we're used to. Households full of appliances and neat little gadgets and stuff, but it has to have power outside of itself to work. Now, Christian, listen up for just a moment. The same thing is true with you. Oh, we're busy, busy, busy. Are we not? Oh, we've got all kinds of things that we are doing, but I want to tell you something. If it's absent the power of the Holy Spirit, it's just busy, 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 busy. Are you conducting your Christian life in the power of the Spirit whereby Christ is glorified? If you're doing it in the flesh, Christ is getting this much glory. If you're doing it with your power and God's power mixed, okay, kind of a 50-50 share, Christ is getting this much glory and you're getting all of it. But if you do it with all of the Holy Spirit's power, completely and totally submitting your will to His will and saying, Lord, You use me ever how You can use me. Lord, I'm not going to put anything on my life. I'm not going to hold anything back. I'm going to give it all to You. Then Christ gets 100% of the glory. God's doing the work through you. You're simply an instrument. You're simply an instrument. Just like an appliance, you're a useful instrument in God's hand. Now, it is important to note how much the Bible has to say about common people. Just plain, ordinary people like you and like me being used of the Holy Spirit of God. Have you found that to be interesting? Who did Christ associate with when He was here upon this earth? He wasn't down at Jerusalem University having lattes with the professors while He was here. Where was He? He was among the common people. He was communicating the Word. Now, these professors, they came along, and what did they do? They criticized. Isn't it interesting that the intelligentsia of Christ's day did everything they could do to stop Him from what He was doing? Who is this man who is unlettered? He has no authority to say what he's saying. Oh, he's just the Son of God. Isn't it interesting that Jesus Christ spent His time, when He was looking for helpers, He went to the seashore and got a group of fishermen. That's stunning to me. That thrills my heart because that means He can use me. He can use me. I don't have to have all the fancy bells and whistles of this life. All I have to do is be submitted to the Holy Spirit, and He can use me. The Bible says He's given gifts. If you're a Christian here this morning, you have gifts from the Holy Spirit. Are you using them for God's glory, for the exaltation of Jesus Christ? Well, Pastor Todd, I don't know what gifts I have. Then you need to find out what they are and develop them for His glory. Don't just be a spectator in church. Show up once or twice a week, and then the rest of the time is all yours. If you're a true, genuine child of God, that wouldn't be your attitude anyway. You want to be used of the Lord 24/7. You want to be bringing glory to Him. The Word of God speaks with such appreciation of the common people submitted to the Holy Spirit of God. I'm inclined to believe that common is a dear term with God. Jesus Christ said this, "I came not to call the righteous, but whom? Sinners to repentance." The self-righteous, I didn't come for them. I didn't come to receive them, but I came to receive sinners. Isn't it interesting that whenever Jesus Christ used an illustration, He oftentimes would compare the Pharisee with the publican? Opposite ends of the spectrum. Opposite ends. The Pharisee, the nobleman, the wealthy, the well-to-do, the one with all the knowledge. And then the publican, the one that was despised by the average Jew. He was the tax collector. He was one that sold out to the Roman Empire. He was a Jew hired by the Roman Empire to go and collect all the taxes. Oh, they hated them. But isn't it interesting that He used that illustration of the publican crying out on the side of the street there, "Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner." He came to Christ, the Pharisee who was beating his chest, talking about how he was so glad he wasn't like one of the publicans. And then there's little Zacchaeus, the publican. I didn't say Republican. That's what the liberals have. There's a couple of blogs that have Zacchaeus the Republican, you know. No, the publican. Little short guy. You know, God loves short people too. I'm one of them. He likes short people. He likes tall people. If you'll repent of your sin and believe on Him. Zacchaeus was up in a tree looking for the Lord. And the Lord stopped with all the thronging crowds all around Him, and He sees Zacchaeus. He says, "Zacchaeus, you come down." He didn't go over to the university and said, "Oh, you very knowledgeable people, I want you to come over to my house. I don't want all these people out here. They're driving me crazy. All these poor people, all these ignorant, common people." No. He said, "Zacchaeus, you come down. I'm going to your house today." Nobody went to Zacchaeus' house. Zacchaeus was a man that only his mother could love. You ever heard that expression? He has a face only his mother could love, you know? Well, that was Zacchaeus. I mean, he was just the kind of person. He was despised. He was hated. He was sold out to the Romans. I mean, only his mama loved him. And Jesus Christ. That's the testimony, folks, that we have this morning. You may have nobody else in the world that loves you this morning, but I know one that does. He's the Creator of heaven and earth. His name is Jesus Christ. And He saved you by His grace, Christian, so that you would serve Him through His Holy Spirit and bring glory to His name. That's it. Is that what you want for your children? Is that what you want for your family? Are you trying to avoid it with everything you can do? Then God help you. The Holy Spirit needs to come live in your heart. He'll change your attitude. He'll change your heart. He'll make you a new creature. He's the minister of the regenerative work of God. Now, let's go on. I've got to skip along here. Many people these days are out preaching and teaching. Boy, there is a multitude of teachers out there these days. Boy, it seems like the numbers are increasing. By the way, the Bible said that would happen in the last days. There'd be an increasing of teachers and people that have itching ears. They want to hear more. What's this new thing that's out there? Oh, have you heard the latest? You heard the greatest coming out of this individual? Boy, that's unbelievable what they're saying. They've got a big crowd following after them. Many people take part in music. Certain ones try to administer God's work with natural gifts only. If the power of God's Spirit does not have freedom to energize all they do, they might as well stay home from church. If you depend on natural talents, you're not depending on the Holy Spirit. There have been preachers in the past who were in great demand all over the world. I think of one from history. He was a recognized divine in New England. Back in the 1800s, we still think of him as an evangelical, but he was not known primarily as a Bible preacher. He traveled the Northeast, expounding on subjects related to nature and science and literature and philosophy. His books had instant sales, and his pulpit oratory attracted huge crowds. But when he died, the bottom fell out of his ministry and there was nothing left. No successor. No, nothing. It just all ended when he died. The work of the Spirit of God had been given no place in directing all of that natural talent and energy. Well known, energetic, oratory beyond the pale. But when he died, all that natural talent and energy died with him, and there was nothing left. Why? It's my opinion that the Holy Spirit was absent. The Holy Spirit was absent. When Spurgeon and G. Campbell Morgan passed away, their work and their outreach went right on without a glitch. Even to this day, Spurgeon's Metropolitan Tabernacle still preaching the gospel. Dr. Peter Masters, pastor there. What a legacy. He died in 1892. Okay, it's been 108 years since he passed away, and it's still going on. Still going on for God. Oh, what a testimony. Both of these well-known preachers had built their lifetime ministries on the Word of God and the power of the Spirit. The second important element in God's use of the believing church is His response to our prayers raised to Him in true faith. This church, individuals in this church, will only grow as God's people pray. The matter of prayer really bears in on the great privileges of common people who are believers in Christ alone. You know, we have everything. You may have zero money and you may be the most wealthy individual, but if you're a Christian, you can go to the same God through prayer. Amen? We have the same access. It's not based upon our lot in life. It's not based upon what we have in the bank account. It's based upon the finished work of Jesus Christ. No matter what our stature and status, we have the authority in the family of God to pray the prayer of faith. That prayer that can engage the heart of God and that can meet God's conditions of spiritual life and victory. We believe that God hears and actually answers our praying in the Holy Spirit. I think it could be said that one miraculous answer to prayer within our congregation will do more to lift and encourage and solidify our people than almost any other thing. Any other thing. Boy, it's so wonderful whenever God answers prayers. We've seen prayers answered over the past several years in individuals' life. We've seen young people come to Christ. We've seen physical ailments taken care of by God in answer to prayer. Doesn't that thrill your heart? Doesn't that encourage you? Folks, that's how the church moves. It moves on its knees. The day when this church gets up off of its knees and starts walking in its own power is the day it dies. We might as well go put a tombstone out here in the grassy area out in the front and say the day that prayer, we got up off of our knees and started walking on our own was the day this church died. We have a praying people here. I'm so thankful that we have a praying people here. People call this ministry from around the country and ask us to pray for special needs. We have people in Milton that will call up here during the week and say, would you pray for this particular need? And we try to bring those requests to you so that you can pray because they believe we're a praying people. I trust that all of us are. This is an important element in the work of the Holy Spirit. Samuel was that kind of person. My time is gone, but I want to share this with you. I was in my devotions this past week in 1 Samuel chapter 12. And this is what Samuel said. Now remember, in chapter 12, what's happened? The children of Israel had said, we don't want you to rule over us, Samuel. We're done with you as judge. We want a king like everybody else. And so they have a king now. His name is Saul. And you know what Saul's done? He's requiring things of the people. They've got to start bringing animals to him because you've got to take care of the king. He needs food to eat. And he's asking us to give up our boys to go fight the Philistines. all these things. Boy, it was easy to say we want a king, but the consequences of that now are coming into play in chapter 12. And this was Samuel's response. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. What an attitude. He could have sat back, said in his lawn chair, and said, I told you so. Look at you now. I told you so. I told you they were going to take your boys and put them in the army. I told you that he would come asking for your cattle and for your sheep and for your goats and for your cheese and your milk. I told you all this. No. What does Samuel say when the people came back to him? He said, moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. He interceded for those who were walking in sin and were in desperate need of help from on high. Samuel had been rejected by the people. You know, there's a lot of politicians that suffer from post-political trauma. They get into office for a while and then they get voted out. And then they go into this period of, oh no, what do I do? And they try to think of other ways they can get back into political office as if life has come to an end. Actually, I would think life would be beginning then, get out of that mess. But listen, you and I have a responsibility to pray, intercede for each other. Pray for each other every day. Pray for the people of God here at Grace Bible Church. Pray for our missionaries. Pray for the boys and girls that attend Santa Rosa Christian School. Remember the requests that are brought in from outside that people ask us to pray for. Pray, pray, intercede through the Holy Spirit of God. And work will be done that cannot be done through other ways. My last point is this. Third method of God's ordained accomplishments through the church is a willingness to exercise the Holy Spirit's gifts in dependence upon His power. Now, I've already mentioned this before, but this is the third method. Are you willing to exercise the gifts that God gave you the moment you were saved? And that's when it happened. The moment you were saved, the Holy Spirit came in to dwell your life and you received special gifts. It's different from my gifts. I'm so thankful for that. We have a variety of gifts all through this congregation that work together to make a blessing, that is, the glory of Christ. And it would be wrong for me to wish different gifts on you. It's not my job to wish gifts on some people. You know, some people are not cut out for certain things. Don't try to fit that person into some ministry that they don't belong in. That's why God gives us wisdom. Find out what that person's strengths are and then direct them in that direction. Amen? Not everybody's cut out to do the same thing. Everybody's got something different that the Holy Spirit... We just have to find out what that is. Are you willing this morning to say, Lord, I will use whatever gifts you have given to me without hindrance, without holding back. I will use them for your honor and for your glory. If you're a Christian, you have gifts. You got a responsibility to get into His Word and find out what those are. And then be willing to use them through the Spirit's power for His glory. Those are the three methods. Let me review them very quickly here. Christian believers and Christian congregations must be thoroughly consecrated to Christ's glory alone. That's key, for Christ alone. Two, praying. Praying in faith that God would move in the midst of His people. And then thirdly, willing to exercise the Holy Spirit's gifts through His power for God's glory. That's how God's work gets done. It's through His Holy Spirit. He chooses to use you if you're a willing instrument. But if you're trying to use your power, His work will not be accomplished. God help us in this regard. As we consider these passages of Scripture today, are we seeking Christ's glory alone? Are we interceding for God's people? And are we submitting to God in the exercise of the Spirit's gifts so that we can be a blessing and help? Or are we trying to find ways that we can withdraw? How can I get out of doing that? How can I get out of, I know I've got the gift to do that, but I don't want to do that. I want to do something else. Humble yourself this morning. Humble yourself this morning and say, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Boy, I am praying that there'll be some young people that will go out here and take their place on the mission field, that God will raise up some preachers, that God will raise up some Christian mothers and some Christian dads here that will raise their children for God's glory in the future. That's the only hope for this old earth, is that there'd be a continuing remnant. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we had 100% from Grace Bible Church? It won't happen apart from the power of the Spirit of God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word this morning. Lord, I pray for our people. Lord, there's so many things to be done. Oh, there's so many things that need to be done. The gospel needs to be carried out. Your work needs to be conducted. The preaching of the Word of God to edify saints, to reach out to lost sinners, to train boys and girls. The work goes on and on, and will continue to go on well past the time I'm in my grave until you come. And Lord, we want to look beyond this very moment. We want to look off into the future. We want to see some children raised up who are wonderfully saved and possess the Holy Spirit of God and take their place in Christian service, to continue this ministry into the future, to continue your work until the trumpet sounds. What a glorious opportunity lies before us, but it cannot be done with human power. It must be done through the 100% power of the Holy Spirit of God, ourselves completely submitted. I wonder this morning if there are those here that would say, Pastor Todd, I need to get things right with the Lord. I'm not trusting in the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm trusting in my own strength. And this morning I want to get that settled. If you're here this morning and that's the situation in your heart and life, I want to pray with you. As I go to Haiti, I want to have you on my prayer list so I can pray that the Holy Spirit would work in your heart and life and bring you to the place where you're completely submitted to Him. Is there one here like that this morning? Just slip up your hand, and I'll remember you in prayer. Nobody's looking around. Someone that'll say, Lord, I want to be completely and totally surrendered to you in service for Thee. I see that hand. Is there someone else? Say, Lord, I want to do your work, and I don't want to do it for my glory and my recognition. I want to do it for Christ's glory. Would you pray for me? I see that hand also. Thank you. Three hands. Father in heaven, I pray that you would do a work in our hearts. Lord, it's so easy sometimes to have our judgment clouded, and we think that we're ministering in the Spirit of God when in reality we're ministering with our own power and strength. I pray that we might recognize the necessity of serving Thee through the power of Thy Holy Spirit, not mixed, but completely dependent upon Him for strength, discernment, wisdom, to carry out the work of the Lord. We pray, dear Father, that you'd use your word in a mighty way this morning, for we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.